Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Genesis, and this is chapter 34. Let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to bless chapter 34, the reading. Lord, open the windows of heaven and pour out your Spirit upon the reading. And Lord, make your words come out of my mouth. Anoint all every word that's said here this morning. Bring a great amount of life to it, to give us life and strength to live another day on this wicked planet. To give us the power to call on you all throughout the day, to meditate upon you all day, and to quicken all the scriptures to us, Lord. Don't give up, the Lord is saying to somebody, don't give up. Live one day at a time, as I have commanded you. Don't let your mind be thinking negative. Negative thoughts are to be pulled down, saith the Lord, and cast down. Replace all negative thoughts with my word, the positive words, the positive thoughts. Thus saith the Lord. You are weak, but I am strong, saith the Lord. Cling on to me, because the time of my coming, the time of the end is near. Break every yoke, Father. Break every fetter. Destroy the works of the evil one. Lord, our enemies are encamped around and about us more than the hair on all of our heads. Satan, your word says, will wear out the saints in these last days. Give us renewed and added strength, O Lord, to make it through this day. We're not going to worry about tomorrow. Sufficient is the evil of this day alone. Let this prayer be answered, O Father God, for each and every blood-washed Christian in the world. Give them all added strength and give us finances. Open up doors, Lord, and make every crooked way straight. Break every chain. Break every fetter, Lord. Build a wall about us of fire. Destroy every enemy of our soul. Bind the devil. And Lord, we are to give no place to the devil, to flee from the very appearance of evil. Those who Satan is attempting to confuse, Lord, destroy the confusion immediately, Lord. Let everyone know how important it is to pray for one another. Because when one member of the body is weak, it weakens all the body. Lord, and then when they're weak, they become sometimes like an Achan. And we know that how the entire house of the Lord is destroyed for one Achan, or many people of the house of the Lord. Be very, very, not only near outwardly, Lord, but be very near to us inwardly. Always be in us, Lord, and let everybody realize how much we need you in us and near us every moment of every day. Because the days are evil, they're very wicked. Make a way where there seems to be none, Lord. Tear Satan's kingdom to pieces, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let not Satan prevail against us today or any time, Lord. Today, this evening, in the middle of the morning, Lord, protect us. We're as little lambs among billions of wolves, Lord. There are more people on earth today than there were when you were here, Lord, in your body. But now we are your body. Help us. Help us prevail, Lord, over all of our enemies and all the multitudes. Of evil snares that Satan descends our ways, and all the fiery darts. Lord, make us strong soldiers that we may endure hardness. Encamp all your angels around and about us, Lord. We need them all. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. He answered. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Father. Thank you. What would we do? We couldn't do without you, Lord. Oh, my God. Praise the Lord. Lord, we ask that you reveal yourself strongly in this message, this chapter today. And we ask it in all these things, Lord. And I know that you answered because you knew we were going to ask in the name of Jesus. And everyone would say amen to it. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. Did you feel that?
Yes.
All right, let's go.
Chapter 34, King James Version, verse 1. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her.
So he took her and raped her. She just went to see some of her girlfriends, if you want to just put it in everyday language. Amen?
Yes.
While she's on her way, we'll sort of speak like little Red Riding Hood through the woods, seeing that most people today have been raised on fairy tales. This guy grabbed her and raped her. Amen?
Amen.
Keep going.
And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob.
So he loved her very much. Then what?
And he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel.
Okay, keep going.
And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field. And Jacob held his peace until they were come. Commentary, revenge against Shechem.
Verse
1 through 5. One day Dinah, Leah's daughter, went to visit some of the young women who lived in the area. But when the local prince Shechem, son of Hamor the Hivite, saw her, he took her and raped her. But Shechem's love for Dinah was strong, and he tried to win her affection. He even spoke to his father about it. Quote, get this girl for me, he demanded. Quote, I want to marry her. Word soon reached Jacob that his daughter had been defiled, but his sons were out in the fields herding cattle, so he did nothing until they returned. King James Version, verse 6. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it. And the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done.
Right, that's the same thing as Achan doing that which was folly, and it caused a lot of people to get killed. There's an Achan in the camp here. But it was from outside the camp. But I believe that this Dinah actually consented or she didn't fight very much at all. And so that's one of the main reasons why such evil happened thereafter. Because the female today, it seems like, is far more guilty of being promiscuous than men are. And this one, she seemed to have raped very easily. She didn't make any bones, but she was with the man. And I don't hear any complaints out of her in this chapter at all. Do you? No, it's not there. Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 6 and 7. Meanwhile, Hamor, Shechem's father, came out to discuss the matter with Jacob. He arrived just as Jacob's sons were coming in from the fields. They were shocked and furious that their daughter had been raped. Shechem had done a disgraceful thing against Jacob's family.
When you hear the word disgraceful in Israel, that is a very strong meaning. Because if you disgrace Israel, or a family of Israel, or the house of God, you are in for some big trouble. And God used these men to destroy the whole city, but and then God used the people of Israel to destroy Achan and his whole family, to get that embarrassing thing totally out of the way. The Lord actually has me, from time to time, when there's people that are disgracing the house of the Lord, to put them out. They don't belong in the church. The things they do has never even been heard of in the Bible, the things that people are doing today. Then what?
Shechem had done a disgraceful thing against Jacob's family, a thing that should never have been done. King James Version.
But I still believe that she consented to it, you know. Girls today rape real easy. As a matter of fact, they're the ones that are primarily coming on to men. And that's the truth. Okay, go ahead.
King James Version, verse 8. And Hamor communed with them, saying, "The soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you, give her him to wife. And make ye marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you. And ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade ye therein, and get you possessions therein." Commentary, verse 8 through 10. Hamor told Jacob and his sons, quote, "My son Shechem is truly in love with your daughter, and he longs for her to be his wife. Please let him marry her. We invite you to let your daughters marry our sons, and we will give our daughters as wives for your young men. And you may live among us. The land is open to you!" Settle here and trade with us. You are free to acquire property among us.
I don't hear Dinah say, "No, no, Dad, you know, I don't want to. I'm a person of Israel. I do not want to be married to a Gentile." Because he's a rapist and she likes that. She's a slut. Okay? Then what else?
King James Version, verse 11. And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, "Let me find grace in your eyes, and what ye shall say unto me I will give. Ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as ye shall say unto me. But give me the damsel to wife." And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father deceitfully, and said, because he had defiled Dinah their sister. And they said unto them, "We cannot do this thing, to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. But in this will we consent unto you, if ye will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised, then will we give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people."
Okay, so back then, the only people that were of the Middle Eastern people that were not circumcised were the Philistines. So this group must have been akin to the Philistines. Okay, all the other Middle Easterners, even the Arabs, believed in circumcision. Okay? All right, then what?
Commentary, verse 11 through 16. Then Shechem addressed Dinah's father and brothers, quote, "Please be kind to me and let me have her as my wife," he begged. "I will give whatever you require. No matter what dowry or gift you demand, I will pay it. Only give me the girl as my wife." But Dinah's brothers deceived Shechem and Hamor because of what Shechem had done to their sister. They said to them, quote, "We couldn't possibly allow this, because you are not circumcised. It would be a disgrace for her to marry a man like you!" Exclamation mark. But here is a solution. If every man among you will be circumcised like we are, we will intermarry with you and live here and unite with you to become one people. King James Version, verse 17.
Now, a lot of people say, gosh, we can deceive people now too, because Jacob did, and of course, he's a deceiver, and so he has deceiving children. Amen?
Amen.
Deceivers have deceiving children. Amen?
Amen.
And so, but that's the Old Testament. We're supposed to learn from the mistakes that these people made in the Old Testament. You're not to copy what they do. Amen?
Amen.
This doesn't fly with the Lord. We know better than that now. Okay. These are our examples of what happens to people. Jacob was deceived all the days of his life. Okay? From many people. All right? Even Joseph pulled a whammy on him. Amen? Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 17. But if ye will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then will we take our daughter, and we will be gone.
But first, they really meant we'll kill you, right? Because that's eventually what they did. They were inflamed over this. The man deserved to die, according to these brothers. You know, the man deserved to die, but not all the people in town. Amen?
Amen.
So that was a very vicious, cruel thing that they did. They deserved, the man did that. He deserved to die. Okay, then what else?
Commentary, verse 17.
You don't punish everybody in this town because somebody goes over there and rapes them, but don't come and kill me, right, and my children. Amen? That doesn't make sense, does it?
No.
All right, then what else?
Commentary, verse 17. Otherwise, we will take her and be on our way. King James Version, verse 18. And their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young man deferred not to do the thing, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter, and he was more honorable than all the house of his father. And Hamor and Shechem, his son, came unto the gate of their city, and communed with the men of their city, saying...
Yeah, they had a town meeting. Says, okay, all you guys, we can take part. We can have part of everything that Israel's got over here. We can become one people and have all these sheep and goats and everything. And it's going to be very prosperous. A man is extremely rich. If all we got to do is get circumcised. Amen?
Amen.
Wouldn't you want to be rich? All you got to do is get circumcised. That's what he's doing. It's like a town meeting. Okay? Then what else?
And Hamor and Shechem his son came unto the gate of their city and communed with the men of their city, saying, "These men are peaceable with us. Therefore let them dwell in the land and trade therein. For the land, behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only herein will the men consent unto us for to dwell with us, to be one people, if every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised. Shall not their cattle and their substance..."
Here it is. "Shall not their cattle and their substance be ours?" Amen?
Amen.
Because they didn't want to marry the daughter. They want, what's in it for us? So he's telling them the things that would delight their ears. Their cattle and everything they got will be ours. Okay, then what?
"Shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us.
Yeah, it's a light thing to get circumcised if we can own all this stuff, right?
Right.
Huh. Yeah, I was giving up a pitch, you know? Okay. Okay, so let's all go to the doctor.
Okay, wait. Okay. All right, next, the other, yeah.
Commentary, verse 18 through 23. Hamor and Shechem gladly agreed, and Shechem lost no time in acting on this request, for he wanted Dinah desperately.
Yeah, the kid wanted Dinah desperately, but the other ones wanted the substance, you know? Okay, then what?
Shechem was a highly respected member of his family, and he appeared with his father before the town leaders to present this proposal. Quote, "Those men are our friends," they said. "Let's invite them to live here among us and ply their trade. For the land is large enough to hold them, and we can intermarry with them. But they will consider staying here only on one condition. Every one of us men must be circumcised, just as they are. But if we do this, all their flocks and all their possessions will become ours. Come, let's agree to this, so they will settle here among us." So all the men agreed and were circumcised.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, how many cows do I get? How many sheep, okay? Okay, what else?
King James Version, verse 24 and 25. "And unto Hamor and unto Shechem his son hearkened all that went out of the gate of his city. And every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of his city. And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword, and came upon the city boldly, and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house, and
see,
went out."
She was there. She was consenting to it, right? Right there shows it, amen?
Yes.
She didn't try to escape. She wasn't hollering her head off. Right? She liked it. All right, what else? She's a slut and he's a rapist, and so it's like a perfect marriage, right? A couple of weasels. All right, then what? A couple of perverts. Then what?
Commentary, verse 25 and 26. "But 3 days later, when their wounds were still sore, two of Dinah's brothers, Simeon and Levi, took their swords, entered the town without opposition, and slaughtered every man there, including Hamor and Shechem. They rescued Dinah from Shechem's house and returned to their camp." King James Version, verse 27. "The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. They took their sheep and their oxen and their asses and that which was in the city and that which was in the field, and all their wealth and all their little ones and their wives took they captive and spoiled even all that was in the house."
So they just grabbed everything that they had. They thought they were going to get everything that Israel had, but Israel wound up grabbing everything they had. Amen?
Yeah.
Even their wives. So they spoiled their sister, but I'm sure those people spoiled their wives. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, then what else?
Commentary, verse 27 through 29. "Then all of Jacob's sons plundered the town, because their sister had been defiled there. They seized all the flocks and herds and donkeys, everything they could lay their hands on, both inside the town and outside in the fields. They also took all the women and children and wealth of every kind." King James Version, verse 30. "And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, Ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I, being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And they said, Should he deal with our sister as with an harlot?"
Right.
I don't think Jacob would have got angry if they would have just killed him. But they killed everybody in town, you know? Okay, keep going.
Commentary, verse 30 and 31. Afterward, Jacob said to Levi and Simeon, quote, "You have made me stink among all the people of this land, among all the Canaanites and Perizzites. We are so few that they will come and crush us. We will all be killed." Quote, "Should he treat our sister like a prostitute?" they retorted angrily.
Okay, that was the last verse of chapter 34 in Genesis. And now there's some commentary here.
Chapter 34, verse 7. Quote, "He arrived just as Jacob's sons were coming in from the fields. They were shocked and furious that their sister had been raped. Shechem had done a disgraceful thing against Jacob's family, a thing that should never have been done." Unquote. A disgraceful thing in Israel is a very strong Hebrew expression for a sin that has injured the entire family, the entire community, the entire nation. This is found numerous times in the Old Testament. Later, see Joshua 7:15.
Now, that's why if you sin, and you're in a church, and you're in a nation, you're not only sinning against, you know, just it's going to fall on you. What you're doing is falling on a lot of people. Could be an entire nation of people. And so you're responsible. And even if you're not aware of that, the Word of God wants you to be aware that you're not just sinning sins that are going to do something wrong to you. You could be throwing people's souls. The way you stand around and don't work when the Lord tells you work, or when you're just self-willed and you're just selfish and self-centered, and the Lord tells you to humble yourself and to forget about yourself and care about others, and you don't, something's got to happen to you. So, you know, when you sin, you're sinning against everybody around you. You're sinning against your family. There's repercussions that happen to your family, to the church, to some of the people that you think are your friends in the church. And if the church is hurting, then the entire nation of or the neighborhood is hurting, and then the whole state or the community. And then it spreads all over the world, because if you were doing your job, you'd be an inspiration to everybody else in the church, or everybody in the family, the church, and the community, and also the state that you live in. If it's California, New Jersey, New York, or whatever country you're in. But if you're sinning, then the Lord doesn't bless the operation, His operation, His church. And it affects everybody in the world, because your testimony could have won somebody in England or India or Africa or here in the United States or who knows where in the world. If you're conscientious about who you're meeting during the day, then you could turn somebody from a carnal person into a spiritual one that'll go out and win hundreds of millions of souls. And so you're not sinning, you just think only I have to pay for it, only me. That's the self-willed awakening. You're going to be responsible for hundreds, maybe millions, hundreds of millions of souls, maybe even a billion of souls. So it's like a horrible crime and sin to not live uprightly in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so go ahead.
See Joshua 7:15. "And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel."
So what Achan did affected his whole family. All of them had to be killed. And all his wives, or wives, or children, and all the animals, everything. Plus, many people in Israel died because of what he did. God wasn't with them. And we need to, in these last days, to have the Lord with our church. With us, with all of our people in the church, and all the people that are surrounding us. Otherwise, the Lord takes his hand off you, and the devil will come rushing in from every area. And you don't know which area it is, and it could be today. I mean, if you're not conscientious or conscious of the things that you're doing and the consequences that you're causing. Okay, there's a great responsibility when you come into the household of the Lord. You've got a responsibility, and you've got to start becoming conscious of that responsibility. Otherwise, you could be the cause of hundreds of millions of people to be killed or lost into hell forever. Okay, so that's what these messages are for, all right? So teach you what your responsibility is, okay, in the Lord. Okay, then what?
34, verse 13, quote, "But Dinah's brothers deceived Shechem and Hamor because of what Shechem had done to their sister," end quote.
Well, that was what their story was. Okay, then what?
"Jacob's sons carried on his deceitful nature, but God used them to bring God's judgment against the sinful Hivites." Verse 7.
Well, the sinful Hivites, the Lord wanted them eliminated anyway, but for this particular crime, they were not guilty of that. Just even the man's father was not guilty of it. You know, so it was a very cruel thing that they did. All right, then what else?
34, verse 14, quote, "They said to them, quote, we couldn't possibly allow this because you are not circumcised. It would be a disgrace for her to marry a man like you," end quote. The Hivites were connected to the Philistines. They were the only other Middle Easterners who did not practice circumcision. Quote, "Those men are our friends," they said. "Let's invite them to live here among us and ply their trade. For the land is large enough to hold them, and we can intermarry with them. But they will consider staying here only on one condition. Every one of us men must be circumcised just as they are. But if we do this, all their flocks and all their possessions will become ours. Come, let's agree to this, so they will settle here among us." So all the men agreed and were circumcised, end quote. The Hivites regarded circumcision as a minor price to pay for an alliance that could potentially increase their wealth and power.
Right. Then what else?
34, verse 27 through 29. Quote, "Then all of Jacob's sons plundered the town because their sister had been defiled there. They seized all the flocks and herds and
donkeys." But she seemed to like to have been defiled, you know, like so many women today. They rape so easily. Okay, then what?
"Everything they could lay their hands on, both inside the town and outside in the fields. They also took all the women and children and wealth of every kind," end quote. "Simeon, Levi, and their armed men left nothing alive in Shechem, and with their brothers stole everything of value, even their little ones and their wives." 34, verse 30 and 31. Quote, "And afterward Jacob said to Levi and Simeon, quote, you have made me stink among all the people of this land, among all the Canaanites and Perizzites. We are so few that they will come and crush us. We will all be killed. Quote, should he treat our sister like a prostitute?" they retorted angrily, end quote. This cruel act ultimately cost Simeon and Levi their father's blessing.
Because they were actually void of blessing. And what else?
And Genesis 49, 5 through 7. "Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations."
This is Jacob blessing, giving the blessings out just before he died to his sons. Okay, then what?
"O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel."
And that's the curse on them. Because they just didn't take care of business with one man. And then if their daughter was just as promiscuous as that man, you know, both of them should have gotten it. If
there be a whore in Israel, there to be stoned to death according to the Old Testament. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus said, yeah, they did have to be stoned to death. But you that are without sin, cast the first stone. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Jacob was terrified of the expected vengeance by the neighboring communities, but his two sons were impenitent. Even though they were not the first dysfunctional family in the Bible, Jacob's brood was certainly among the most controversial. Like father, like son is the saying. Jacob's own shortage of discretion, honesty, patience, and love negatively impacted his family. Jacob had never been his father's favorite, and he played favorites with his own sons.
Which is understandable, because he was favorite. He had Joseph for a favorite. And God has favorites. And some people think, well, you're not supposed to have favorite children. Well, Isaac loved Esau instead of Jacob. Amen?
Amen.
But God loved Jacob instead of Esau, right?
Right.
So God has favorites, so I reckon it's our, the Lord wants us to be like Him. So our favorites then are those, He doesn't have a democracy where you have to just love everybody the same way. That's your way of thinking. That's the world's way of thinking, that we're all equal. But God doesn't say that. And Joseph was the favorite one. Amen?
Amen.
And then Benjamin ran a close second. Amen?
Amen.
But, so, the theologians are saying, you know, that was wrong for Jacob to have favorites. No, it wasn't, theologians, okay? Jacob was admirable. These people sold Joseph, threw him in a pit. Amen?
Amen.
How could you be favorite with somebody like that? They even favor Esau over Jacob because Esau wept and kissed him and smiled. Okay, so, you know, that doesn't cut it with the Lord, though. You can't get into heaven with smiles and kisses and tears. It just doesn't work. You got to come in by the blood of Jesus and by the Spirit and by letting the Spirit work in you. Amen. Everything else will not fly. Everything else goes downward. And everybody will see that on the final day. Then what else?
There were tragic results. Joseph was obviously preferred. Benjamin ran a close second. God has favorites as well. Isaac picked the wrong favorite. Jacob's favorites were just. Joseph was just. Unmature pastors believe it was wrong for Jacob to have favorites. They think that having favorites is wrong because it made the other jealous.
Right. All the brothers of Joseph were jealous of him. And they think, and that's understandable. I've heard theologians say that. Why? Because God showed him a vision. It's understandable that people are jealous. Jealousy is a rotten sin. That kind of jealousy, okay? Now, God is a jealous God, but He's jealous. He wants to win your soul. And any husband or any wife who want to back up their wives or their husbands and they want to do for them, but if they are sinners, you don't want to do anything for them. What for? I mean, David put one of his wives, his many wives, in ward. Didn't have anything to do with her, and he loved her very much, but that was it. She's a sinner. Okay, then what? So he had favorite wives. He liked Bathsheba. Amen?
Amen.
And that's his prerogative. The Lord didn't hate him for that, did he?
No.
No, he didn't like him because he committed adultery with her and sent her husband out onto the front lines. But he paid for it, and he never did anything like that again. But that doesn't... That is something that happened in the Old Testament, and they didn't have the power of God living in them as we do. Jesus hadn't come. They didn't have as much Bible as we do now. And that's a mistake that we are to learn from in the Bible. We're not to say, well, David did it, so we can do it too.
No, you already know David did that, and that's something that's a no-no. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I know you feel like whoring around, but we can't live by feelings, because your feelings will get you right into hell. Amen?
Amen.
You can't do what you want to do, what your flesh wants to do. We have to do what the Lord says we must do in order to enter the kingdom of heaven if we want to get there. Amen?
Amen.
So let's wise up, okay, because God is not a kidder. He's not kidding around. Amen?
Amen.
Then these other two yokels, Jacob's, one of them went up and had sex with one of his concubines. You remember which one that was? Huh?
Reuben.
Yeah, Reuben. Why should God favor Reuben? Or why should Jacob favor this son, this guy, that goes and has sexual relationships with one of Jacob's concubines? The man's going to hell. Those patriarchs are not wonderful people. They were a bunch of misfits, with the exception of Joseph and maybe Benjamin. Amen?
Amen.
But they were jealous of him because God said that the whole family was going to have to bow down before him. And they did bow down before him. Amen?
Amen.
So what the vision that he had, when it came to pass, then they found out, but it was maybe too late, huh? They already did those things, and their hearts were crushed, and hopefully they repented. It sounds like they did. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Unmature pastors believe it
immature.
Was,
okay, then what else?
Immature pastors believe it was wrong for Jacob to have favorites. They think that having favorites is wrong because it made the other jealous. How evil! Exclamation mark. They say the deceptions that Jacob had put over on his wrongful father and brother that
Isaac was wrong. God said, Jacob I have loved and Esau have I hated. And Isaac loved the wrong guy. Amen?
Amen.
He loved who God hated. And that was his favorite. You got to, if you're going to pick a favorite, it has to be somebody that's godly. Amen?
Amen.
Now, some women today, and some men, they want somebody that's as big of a slut as they are. They don't want a godly person.
They say the deceptions that Jacob had put over on his wrongful father and brother that he had to pay for many years earlier were mirrored in the lies his sons told about Joseph and his fate.
Right, because he had his favorite son taken away from him, Joseph. Amen?
Amen.
And you say, what do you mean by the wrongful father? Isaac was wrong, okay, for loving Esau. His wrongful brother, Esau, how could anybody that would sell their birthright and sell God, thumb their nose at God, how could you have that for your favorite? Okay, you got to choose your friends, you know? Choose the right friends, somebody that's going to heaven. I don't want to be friends with some reprobate or some sinner or someone that God hates. And a godly person shouldn't want to have anything to do with them either. All right, let's go.
As the brutal massacre of Shechem illustrated, openness and honesty didn't characterize the son's relationship with outsiders either. Jacob's
no, they were evil in the house of God, and they're evil to people outside. There's the guy that committed a murder right down the block over here. Should all of us die because this man that we don't even know committed a murder? That's what the government's doing, is making everybody responsible for what sinners do. And the government is the ones that are doing the evil.
Amen.
Then they're turning around that all of us citizens are in trouble. Yeah, if they weren't around, there wouldn't be any trouble. Amen?
Amen.
They ought to take the the people that they're putting away, the innocent people, and take them out of prison and put these people in prison. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
There's more wicked people in government than there ever was, than there is on the streets.
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Jacob's silence at Dinah's rape shows me that he might have been aware that Dinah consented to the rape.
Yeah, why didn't Jacob throw a fit? Amen?
Amen.
I saw you rape my daughter, my God. I'd be on him just like white is on snow. Amen?
Amen.
I'd be furious. But I wouldn't go and kill the whole town. And of course, we can't kill anybody today, and we don't have any weapons, we don't have any squirt guns around here. But back then, you know, I mean, I would sure make sure that they're arrested and put in prison. And God will take care of them. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Jacob's silence at Dinah's rape shows me that he might have been aware that Dinah consented to the rape. In other words, she raped real easy. But his silence made Simeon and Levi to seek vengeance on their own. It is certain that Jacob said...
Right, just because it was quiet, he didn't rage or he didn't say, oh gosh, or anything. He just was silent. And so the boy said, come on, let's get him, you know. Right?
Right.
So he didn't say no, no, no. Amen?
Amen.
He didn't say anything. Okay, then what?
It is certain that Jacob set no clear instructions or boundary lines until it was much too late. Some theologians are so evil to say also that, quote, Jacob's polygamy also influenced his sons. Reuben slept with his father's concubine, Bilhah. In most of the patriarchs, polygamy was ordained by God.
Yeah, even this one... Leah said, God has blessed me because I gave my husband to one of my handmaidens. And truly God did bless her. Amen?
Amen.
So if that's wrong, why are these evil theologians saying that what God does is evil? They try to make themselves holier than God. Amen? Because they're actually coming against the word of God. God told David, he says, I gave you the daughters of Israel, and I gave you the daughters of Judah, and I gave you thus and thus other women, and so on. And if that wasn't enough, all you would have to do is ask me, and I would have given you more. And the theologians are saying God's evil. Is that evil?
No.
Are you a Christian? Do you believe the word of God? If God is saying that, and he's blessing people for doing that, then who are you to say anything like that? Okay? Of course... We have to abide by the rules of the United States of America, and very few people were allowed to be polygamists. But polygamists, they're coming down on Jacob for having four wives. God never condemned him for that. Find it for me in the Bible. Well, people say because the two sisters were fighting and everything, he made a rule that man can't marry sisters, to you know, the elder sister and the younger sister. But outside of that, there's no condemnation for having many wives. Otherwise, why did David and Solomon and Gideon and all these other people have all these wives? Amen?
Amen.
And God never said, there's not one commandment in the Bible that says, thou shalt not commit polygamy. All polygamy was wind up in hell. Some people get married, are polygamous for terrible reasons, just for sexual reasons and things like that. But... that's wrong. If God tells them to be a polygamist, then, you know, if they can't be it here in the United States, they ought to leave, okay, and be a polygamist. Because God wants certain people to have certain helpmates, I reckon, okay? I'm quite sure that Solomon never had sexual relationships with, you know, 1,000 wives. Amen? Because he wasn't Robo-Solomon. It's just Solomon, old son of Solomon, right?
Right.
Okay, keep going.
Reuben was evil, not Jacob. Jacob, God made him a prince.
Yeah, so they're trying to make Reuben look like, well, it was a bad influence because all these kids lived in a house where there was polygamy going on, and so that influenced them to be little reprobates. Well, then why was Reuben the only one that did something like that? Okay? The rest of them weren't reprobate in that way. Were they?
No.
Okay, so, you know, no, the man is just evil and possessed with the devil. How do you have sex with your father's wife? You're not even to look upon her. As if there's not enough women in the world, you got to pick on your father's wife. Reprobate. Evil, wicked human being. And then they're saying that Jacob was wrong and not Reuben. That Jacob was a bad influence on him. When God called Jacob a prince and changed his name to Israel because he loved him so much. God loved Jacob, okay? Wicked theologians. And Esau he hated. And Reuben is cursed. Not Jacob. You people make me sick to my stomach. Okay, then what else?
Jacob, God made him a prince, while he had two wives and two concubines. Anyone who would even lust after their father's wife or concubines is committing adultery.
Oh, and incest on top of it, and it's no adultery shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Most theologians today are Gentiles and have a filthy view of God's commandments and make the commandments of God evil. They make dignities like Jacob, Job, David, Gideon, and many others look evil, and their evil selves look holy.
This is Tony Alum. That was chapter 34 of Genesis. And Lord willing, I'll be doing chapter 35 this evening. Till then, keep concentrating on the Lord. And keep praying always. Amen?
Amen.
And think about God all the time. Until then, God bless you real good. Praise the Lord.